This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so happy to be with you this morning. You know I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. What a marvelous opportunity we have to use these airwaves for the glory and honor of God. And golly gee, I like to use them as much as I possibly can. And I know that you do too, because you listen in. And that's using the airwaves for the honor and glory of God, because when you're hearing the Word of God proclaimed, what's happening? Well, it's having an effect on you. Yeah, if we receive that word, it is efficacious and it does marvelous things in our heart, in our soul, in our mind. It's restorative. It renews us. It brings us into the fullness of life that Jesus Christ wants us to know, because that is his mission. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And the life he's talking about is the life of God in us. Oh my goodness, so marvelous. Aren't we blessed people? Do want to give you the phone numbers to use to call us today so that we can hear from you. That's another way in which you can use these airwaves for the honor and glory of God by weighing into the show. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the number for you to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. Do know that we've got a number for you if you're not in North America. Country code 1-205-271-2985 is the number for you to use. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. All kinds of wonderful, wonderful things there for you. We invite you just to use that number and join us. Again, we are available for you in yet another way, and that's out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. If you go out there, you can see me. I'm waving to you right now. So happy that you're with us today. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will be sure to retrieve it, and we'll be sure to get your question up on the air there, or your comment, and I will address it on the air. So please use all of those means. If none of those are going to work for you, here's another one. You can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's text the numbers EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then put in your name, where you're calling from, how you're listening, your comment, of course, and do know that message and data rates may apply. Well, I am fresh back from Florida. You know that I've been telling you that I was going down there to St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church for a day on Advent Walk with Mary. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. We came together in that wonderful church. Father Kenny, I just want to give you a great big round of applause for the wonderful, wonderful parishioners that you have there. And I want to thank you so very much for inviting us into your parish. I can tell you it was wonderful. The hall was filled, absolutely filled. It was an event for men and for women. We spent a beautiful, beautiful day together, beginning in the best way possible with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we had a lovely breakfast, and then I gave two talks. And after those two talks, we had lunch, another beautiful meal that was provided for all of those who attended. And then I gave a talk again in the afternoon. So it was three talks, and we were talking about our Blessed Mother. And, you know, I'm very filled still with a message that I think the Lord gave to us. And, you know, just continuing to enter deeply into the mystery of the Blessed Virgin Mary in light of this coming season of Advent, a time when we want to make preparation. So many thoughts roaming through my mind right now, but I would love to hear from you today about, you know, how is it that you are preparing with Our Lady for this season of Advent? You know, Advent is a time of preparation. The two W words that the church puts out for us is wait and watch, right? Wait and watch. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're watching for his coming. But in addition to that, you know, it is a time of preparation. We want to make our hearts ready to receive the Christ child. And I know we're not into Advent yet, but here's the thing of it. If we don't have a plan by which we are going to make our our way through Advent, then this liturgical season is going to be over before we get started with it. And then it's going to be Christmas Day. And you know how busy it gets at this time of the year. You know, we've got Thanksgiving right around the corner. I know many of you are already preparing for Thanksgiving. I will be preparing very soon. We're going to have family in from Florida here. All of that being said, that's going to be a busy time. And then right after that, we are right into, you know, Advent. We are right into that time of preparation. The first week of Advent comes very shortly thereafter. So we need to have a plan. We need to have an approach. I'd love to hear from you on what is your Advent plan. Have you even thought about an Advent plan? You know, I've got some suggestions for you. But all of that being said, I'd love to hear from you because what you will share will help to affect my Advent and also the Advents of everybody out there that's listening. So you can call us with your thoughts, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's free for you to use that number if you're in North America. So we would love to hear from you there. All kinds of good things available for you. Speaking about preparation, all kinds of good things are available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. I always like to encourage you to get out there and take a look at what's happening. You know, this event was just absolutely lovely. So happy to have been there. Nancy Alhaj, our regional coordinator, just worked with the parish in putting on this marvelous event. We had so many women there who are actively engaged in the study, either by being a regional coordinator or by being a facilitator or having been, a regional facilitator or an assistant regional or a participant. So many women were there. And we took a big old picture, and I looked at it this morning, and I thought, oh my gracious, that's a wow moment. I couldn't get over it. Just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. So again, my deepest thanks there. But the most important part of the day, of course, was the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And then, you know, allowing ourselves to be kind of gently cajoled into preparing for this Advent season. So do let us hear from you. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. But our website has all kinds of good things for you to help you make your way through this time. And I do want to draw your attention to some of the things that are coming up. On December the 6th, we are going to have a Young Women of Grace Advent online event. This is for the young women of Grace, but you know, you can join us too. But we really love when the young girls join us and when their moms join with them. And it's Say Yes, Lord, Prepare for Advent with Our Blessed Mother. Say yes, Lord. Prepare for Advent with Our Blessed Mother. And of course, that say yes, Lord is indicative of Our Blessed Mother's fiat. Fiat voluntas tua. Fiat mihi. Be it done unto me. Uh-huh. You know, and that is what this is going to be about. So we invite you to check it out. If you've got a young lady in your home, this is a beautiful way for her to become introduced to our Young Women of Grace community. It's going to be Friday, December the 6th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It will run to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be a fun online evening for teen girls. We hosted the first one not all that long ago, and that one was really regarding Halloween and the occult and things of that nature so that we could teach them about the realities of those things. And the girls just truly enjoyed it. We just got rave reviews. So we want for you to check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it. It's number one right there in those upcoming events. More to come on the other side of the break, 833-288-3986. Join us here today.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Yes, indeed, the phone lines are open for you. I'm eager to hear from you. We have Matthew Gubensky answering the phones. And if you're a first-time caller, he wants to know, and so do I, because I love to ring my little welcome bell for you, which I have right here on my desk. So I certainly do invite you to let us know that. I invite you to use that number and join us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available for you too at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your name and please put in how it is that you're listening to us and let us know, in fact, where you're located. And don't forget to put your comment in. That's really important. Michael McCall will get it retrieved. He'll get it up on the board and I'll be able to address it as we go through our program together today. Another way that you can reach us is by texting us your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put your information in there. Do know that data rates and message rates may apply depending upon your plan. Do want to remind you about one other thing before we go off and dip into just some thoughts about Advent. And I'm asking you, call in, Advent preparation. Advent is coming up in the next couple of weeks. Advent is going to be here. So I'm really encouraging you to begin early to plan how you're going to make your way through Advent, to prepare for Advent, which is the time of preparation for the coming of the Christ child. We have to be a little bit, preemptive on the season if we want to live that season well and to have that season be as efficacious as God would like it to be in our lives, so that the fullness of our heart can be given to the child Jesus, on Christmas Day. So I'm very, very eager to hear from you on all of that today. But before we get into that, I do want to let you know about our Benedictine Institute for Women. Our week-long winter immersive is taking place in February. It's going to start on February the 3rd. We are going to be back at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Center, located in North Palm Beach, Florida. Beautiful time of the year to escape winter and get to Florida. And this provides you with an opportunity that it will impact your life and make a tremendous difference in how it is that you enter more deeply into the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. Our theme is Mariology and the Feminine Genius, and the specific course of study, if you will, that we will be investigating is The Read of God, Our Lady in Scripture and Devotion. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be leading us through. Bishop William Walterscheid is going to be with us through the course of the weekend. He will have wonderful words to share with us as well. But this is just going to be, a tremendous time. As a matter of fact, I actually used The Read of God, Carol Hauslander's book, Saturday in one of my talks and shared the chapter that's called Fiat with everyone who was there. And, it's just a beautiful, beautiful book. It's very accessible. And by that, I mean, it is not deep, deep, deep theology. But what it is it's a poetic prose that does lead us into an interior investigation of some of the truths of the faith. It's inspirational, but it's not the kind of a book that you'll ever forget. That's all I can tell you about it. So we're going to be studying that book along with Dr. Ted Shree's book, Rethinking Mary in the New Testament, and Brant Petrie's book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary, Unveiling the Mother of the Messiah. So True Devotion to Mary is also a text that we're going to be getting into. And I just think that it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous opportunity for you. As you know, the Benedicta Institute for Women offers a certification in Catholic women's leadership that you can acquire. These courses all lead to that end. But, if you don't feel as though, I don't know that I really want to, go that distance, or if I really want to attain certification in Catholic women's leadership, this class will be just a beautiful spiritual time of enrichment for you. It'll make a huge difference in your life. I know that to be true because I'm familiar with these books. I am familiar with Dr. Donald Wallenfang. He is a marvelous presenter, and Bishop William Walterscheid is just a treasure. He will open up, he himself a theologian, he himself a third order Carmelite. He will just open open up tremendous depths for us as we come together there. So do check it out at our website. Check it out there. We are encouraging you to call us if you have any questions, if you have any needs that present themselves that have to be satisfied, to be able to come and join us. If we can help meet those needs, we'll do our very best. We just want you to come. So check all of that out. Yeah, so, I was telling you, there's so much that I want to share with you, and I'm sitting here with books around me, but I do want to share with you the reality of our Blessed Mother, because, as you well know, I am consecrated to Jesus through our Blessed Mother, right? And I've made the Louis de Montfort consecration for years and years and years. I think the first time that I made that consecration was in 1984. I renew that consecration every single day. And so I want to do everything through, within, and for our Blessed Lady, because there is no human person who reflects the totality of God's love for us, nor any human person who reflects the Holy Spirit more greatly than our Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this is, putting Jesus into the category that he belongs in. Jesus is true God and true man. He's hypostatic union. But our mother is pure creature. She is pure creature. She, however, is imbued with the life of God. Her spouse is the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at our Blessed Mother, we see there the ideal to which each one of us is called. We see the triumph of grace in the life of a person so completely and so totally that the devil never for one moment had his clutches on her. Never for one moment did the evil one own any part of Mary. She was preserved from the stain of original sin by virtue of preservative redemption, a singular action of God, because our Blessed Mother is the ark of the new covenant, right? And that ark that would contain within itself, the fulfillment of those three items that were kept in the Ark of the Old Covenant, that woman had to be without any kind of mark or stain. She had to be completely preserved from any kind of residual effect of sin. And so our Blessed Mother was preserved by preservative redemption, which I'll explain to you in a moment, through the singular action of God. Now you say, well, what does that mean and how could it come about? Well, I'm going to tell you. Remember that God is not in time. God supersedes time. He is outside of time and space. He is not bound by time, nor is he bound by space. He is not. He is pure spirit. He created time. Time was created for you and for me. Time is part of the habitat of man. But time didn't exist until God created time. He exists outside of time and outside of space. And everything for God is immediately present to him. This is a concept hard for us to understand, because living in time, we have a past. Living in time, we are in the present moment right now, I hope. But we also have a future. But our present moment is so fleeting, isn't it? I mean, our present moment is over by the time I say present moment, because we exist in seconds and nanoseconds, which give way to minutes, then gives way to hours, which give way to days, which gives way to months, which gives way to years, right? Which gives way to decades, which gives way to centuries, which then gives way to millennia, right? Isn't it interesting? But, with God, no. Everything is immediately present to him. And it has to be, in a certain sense, because he sustains everything by his being aware of everything, which means that he's in the present moment. So everything is immediately available to God. There is no past, there's no future. And all of the mysteries of Christ, all of the mysteries that we see displayed through the presence of the God-man are immediately present, and they're held in that eternal moment where God dwells, right? And so the salvific moment, the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary for the sake of humanity, is held in the eternal moment. It was always present to God. It happened in time, but it was always present to God. The graces were always present to God. So this God who, as Galatians 4:4 says, would be the one, you know, who in the fullness of time, right, would bring the Son of Man into the world. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman. That woman had to be an extraordinary woman. She had to be a woman who was more carefully constructed by God, if you will, more carefully orchestrated by God, if you will, more carefully prepared for and planned for by God, if you will, than the Ark of the Old Covenant. And you can go back to Exodus chapter 25 and read forward through chapter 31 and see how specific God was for the construction of the Ark of the Covenant that would contain the three items that the Son of Man, who would come by way of the womb of our Blessed Lady, the Ark of the New Covenant, would fulfill. And so, you know, this woman had to be just immensely pure to be able to contain within herself the God-man. The devil never could have had any hold on Mary through original sin or anything else. So this God, who exists outside of time and space, took the salvific action of his Son that also existed in the heart of God outside of time and space, but would come by way of time and space. And he, not being bound by time and space, applied that grace, that very grace of redemption to Our Lady at the moment that sperm and egg met in the womb of Saint Anne. Mary was conceived by natural means, but the natural condition of man through that conception did not exist. Mary was not scarred by original sin, as the rest of the human race has been and will be scarred by it since the time of Adam. So, all of that being said, when we consider that, you know, we get just a taste, don't we? Just a taste of the magnificence of Our Lady. Now, the beautiful thing about that is that Our Blessed Lady's primary mission, her role in time and in eternity, is to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. She is your spiritual mother. She wants to mother you, nurture you in the relationship that God desires you have with his Son, Jesus Christ. She wants to nurture you that you might be ready to receive the fullness of life that comes by way of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. She wants to nurture you unto salvation. And she wants to nurture you unto conversion, ongoing conversion, ongoing metanoia, turning our back on the world, the flesh, and the devil, and turning our face toward the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about Advent, who more perfectly can lead us to this time of preparation to once again receive the Christ child into the wombs of our hearts, that we might be filled with his divine and holy life, affected by his divine and holy life, saved by way of his divine holy life. Maybe even from the struggle that will be ours in that moment, or the trial that God is entrusting to us, or the suffering that we're enduring, or the grief that we might be experiencing. Mary wants to bring all of that, the fullness of her Son, to us, just as she brought the fullness of her Son when it was the fullness of time. Just as she brought Jesus into this world by way of her fiat, she wants to speak fiat into your soul that he might be born there in you. So she's the perfect one to lead us through. I dipped into this past weekend, and I'm always dipping in to this beautiful, beautiful blessing that St. Louis de Montfort gives us in his treatise on true devotion to Mary. And it's just beautiful. Here's one thing. It says this. This is in a section. It's in paragraph 37 in a section that's entitled Mary is Queen of All Hearts. St. Louis writes, "We may evidently conclude then from what I have said, first of all, that Mary has received from God a great domination over the souls of the elect, for she cannot make her residence in them as God the Father ordered her to do, and as their mother form, nourish, and bring them forth to eternal life, and have them as her inheritance and portion, and form them in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ in them, and strike the roots of her virtues in their hearts, and be the inseparable companion of the Holy Ghost in all his works of grace. She cannot, I say," writes St. Louis, "do all these things unless she has a right and a domination over their souls by a singular grace of the Most High." Basically, what he's saying is, unless the Most High grants her that opportunity. But how does the Most High grant her that opportunity? He grants her that opportunity when we say yes to that opportunity. This is just a beautiful way in which God wants for us to come to know the daughter that will always birth Jesus Christ to the world, and the world to Jesus Christ. St. Louis tells us in paragraph 6, she, meaning Mary, is the grand and divine world of God where there are beauties and treasures unspeakable. She is the magnificence of the Most High, where he hid, as in her bosom, his only Son, and in him all that is most excellent and most precious. Isn't that beautiful? And God wants us to accept that maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady, that she might form her Son in us. And so I think that a most perfect way to prepare for Advent is by way of this beauty and wonder, who is our Blessed Mother, to welcome her into our life in a deeper and truer way. To count back, count back from Christmas Day, 33 days, and make a consecration to Jesus through Mary. What a great Christmas that will be. So let us know, how are you planning to prepare? 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. We're talking about Advent. We're talking about Advent preparation. I have thrown out to you the possibility that maybe through Advent you want to get, just a little bit more, what's the word that I want to use? Infused, if you will, with the maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady. To that end, I'm suggesting that you walk through Advent with our Mother. What a beautiful way in which we can enter more deeply into the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. How better to do it than the one who carried him, who conceived him by way of the Holy Spirit in her own body, birthed him into the world, forever wanting to take each and every soul into a deeper appreciation of him and union with him. So I'm suggesting that to you, but you might have some ideas too, and I'm eager to hear it. I'll tell you another great way that you can prepare for Advent would be to do it by way of the saints, to become more familiar with the saints. And we have just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you. We've got something quite lovely. We have 15 saints. They're the heroes of the Catholic faith. They serve as examples for all Catholics, showing us how to lead a more satisfying, more spiritual life in communion with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can take a look at a comprehensive documentation of the saints who serve as theologians and doctors of the church by visiting EWTN.com and click Catholicism. So why not, explore the life of these saints by way of getting out there to EWTN's website, that's EWTN.com, click on Catholicism, and you can look at there's just so much documentation that we've got on up there regarding the saints who serve as theologians and doctors of the church. They would be a beautiful, beautiful way, their writings, their teachings, of leading us into this truer appreciation of who Jesus is and who he wants to be in each one of our lives. We invite you to call us with your ideas and your thoughts. We've got Joshua with us. Joshua is in San Antonio, Texas. He's listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Joshua, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, am I on? I'm sorry.
You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to say, like, you were talking about theology and all that, because I'm a huge fan of theology, you know, and I like to listen to the debates of creation versus evolution, and it's not talked about a lot. It's not talked about enough, especially in, you know, gospel groups, things like that. But when we were talking about God existing outside of time.
Uh-huh.
You know, evolution, you know, they teach that, you know, the Big Bang, and it created, you know, but you have time, space, and matter. You know, if there was time but no space, you know, where would you put it? If there was no space, where would you put the matter? They all have to come into existence at the same time. And then you have solid, liquid, gases, length, width, height. It's a trinity of trinities that have to come into existence at the same time. And God can, and the God that created them has to live outside of them. God is not bound by time. This isn't the year 2024 for God. He does not.
Right.
Time does not exist for him.
That's
and
right.
And it's impossible for us to comprehend. And that doesn't mean that, you know, science is useful. It is useful, but science used in the wrong way is a extreme contradiction to theology. So I just wanted to. It's a good thing to think about. It gets the mind really working and trying to understand that, you know, the existence of creation, they all had to come into existence at the same time. Otherwise, it's circular reasoning based on science that doesn't work.
Okay, I'm not sure, Joshua. I was having trouble hearing you initially, but I'm hearing you better now. So what I understood you to say is that God exists outside of time and space. Everything is immediately present to God. And then I kind of lost the aspect of the point that you were making with regard to circular thinking. Can you?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So much better. Thank you.
God exists outside of time. Time, space, yes. Matter have to come into existence at the same time. So,
yeah.
You know, because if you had space, if you had space but no time, when would you put it? If you had matter but
exactly.
No space, where would you put it?
That's
you know,
right.
And a God that created those has to live outside of them. And
yes.
God is not bound by time.
Right.
Not, you know, time does not exist for God. It's not the year 2024, you know, for him. He's in every time, past, present, and future.
That's
and,
right.
You know, science can be useful to research things, but science used incorrectly can contradict theology. And it's just a really good way to get the mind working and thinking. It's impossible for us to comprehend, but there's so much history on the earth itself that has been proven through the Bible to prove historical findings and facts of the creation that God made.
That's right. Yeah, and so I totally agree with what you're saying. And you know, what comes into my mind right now is the encyclical that John Paul II wrote called Faith and Reason. You know, the fact of the matter is, when those are coupled together, what we understand is that science will never ultimately contradict scripture, and scripture doesn't contradict science. The two come together. In many ways, science continues to prove what we know by faith. And so, God created the world. All of that he created is known by him, intricately down to its elements, you know, its elemental nature, the entirety of it. So since he's created all of it, there can't be any contradiction between him and that which he's created. Our belief in him obviously helps for us to understand through faith that which we, and to accept through faith that which we don't know, but anything that science discovers is only a discovery of what it is that God's already created, right? So there's no contradiction there. I don't know if I'm making myself clear there or not, but I understand what I'm trying to say.
You are. I was telling my wife the other day, you know, because you tell somebody something about, you know, like, listen, if you don't follow Christ, and you know, if you don't follow believe in God, if you don't follow Christ, you don't want to choose to believe him. That's a path that leads to hell. It's like, well, I don't believe in hell. I'm like, well, you can go to hell without believing in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the craziness, Joshua, of the day and time in which we're living. Because, you know, that heresy of relativism has taken over the cultural mindset, meaning that, you know, if relativism teaches that there is no moral truth, that there is no capacity by which we judge what is right, what is wrong. Anything goes. You can have your own truth, or you can set up your own moral structure. Well, you can do all that, but you're deceiving yourself, you know, and right. What's going to end up happening is that at some point in time, reality is going to hit you. And that time is going to be, you know, if it doesn't come sooner through conversion of heart, that time is going to be when the soul separates from the body and the soul is standing before the judgment seat of God. And then it's going to be like, oh my gosh, you know, what was I thinking? But we actually today, like you say, well, you don't have to believe in hell, but that doesn't eradicate the reality of hell. You don't have to believe in heaven, but it doesn't eradicate the reality of it. It just makes you pretty stupid. You know, I mean, scripture, the faith is there for a reason, you know? So all of that being said, you know, our God is a God of revelation. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know the things of him. So yeah, thank you so very, very much. I really appreciate your call today. Thanks. Call again.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. God bless you. Yep. So we're inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. So I'm inviting you, pick up the phone, give us a call. The phone lines are open. The phone lines are there for you. Matthew Gubensky wants to hear from you. He is our call screener. Let him know if you're a first timer. I will ring my bell to welcome you to the program. Available for you too out there in social media land. Simply get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement. Michael McCall, I do believe, let me see, wait a second. Oh, wait. It's Pedro. Pedro is with us. And we invite you to call in and say hello, or excuse me, to leave your message for Pedro. He'll get it retrieved and we'll get it up on the board. You can also text your question to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and we will be happy to address it on the air. I'm looking right here. In one of my favorite books, I recommended this to everybody on Saturday, and we sold out of them. You too can get a copy of this beautiful, beautiful book at our website, womenofgrace.com, or at ewtnrc.com. It is called Divine Intimacy. And in Meditation 173, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene is telling us about our Blessed Lady. He's telling us, you know, about the fact that all of her privileges come by way of her divine maternity. He says, Mary, the Immaculate One, the beloved daughter of the Father, this is 172, actually, is also the spouse of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that earlier in our program, whose power overshadowed her because she had been chosen to be the mother of the incarnate Word. He goes on and says, all Mary's greatness and glory are explained in the light of her divine maternity. Furthermore, her very existence is explained by her predestination to this high office. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. I want to talk about the fact that he says she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit whose power overshadowed her because she had been chosen to be the mother of the incarnate Word. You know, I oftentimes, you know, just cringe when I hear somebody say, well, you know, God could have used any woman to bring his son into the world. No. He could have, but then that person would have been chosen by God to bring the mother of his, to bring the Son of God into the world. God chose Mary. He chose her from all eternity. Remember what Joshua was just sharing with us and what we were talking about. God exists outside of time and space. You know, God had always knew in his mind Mary. She didn't exist in time and space yet, but in the mind of God, she existed. Newsflash for you. in the mind of God, you existed. And when it was perfectly the right time, he brought you into being in time and space through the commingling of your father's sperm and your mother's egg. Mary was chosen by God. And God chose Mary, you know, for a very specific mission, and God has chosen you for a very specific mission. So when it talks about her being predestined by God, when it talks about her predestination to this high office, that she would be the mother of the incarnate word, not only is it revealing a great truth about Our Lady and about her, you know, superior selection, but it's making a big statement about you too, that you have been predestined to have life. And that God desires that you come to know the one who was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary by way of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. What a remarkable thing. You know, theologians tell us that when Mary conceived Jesus, she also was conceiving all of those who would come by way of him. Her yes to God was a yes to the totality of Jesus Christ. The yes to the totality of Jesus Christ. And what we discover in sacred scripture and the teachings of the church is that you and I form the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That salvific action of our Lord Jesus Christ, predestined by God from all eternity, is the way through which we, when our fiat is given, when we are baptized in him, that we actually enter into the life of Jesus Christ. His life enters into us. We enter into his life. We form the mystical body of Christ. And Mary was giving fiat to the whole Christ, not just to the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ, but to the body of the church, the body of Christ, you and me and all of us together. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So you have great dignity. Sometimes we don't live up to that dignity. Sometimes we advertently or inadvertently sin. We don't live up to the dignity that is ours. But made in the image and likeness of God, being predetermined by God to have life, coming into the church that his son founded, the bride of Christ, the church that was born when blood and water gushed forth from his side on Calvary's Hill, that church being born then, you and I have great and tremendous dignity. And that's an incredible thing to think about too, isn't it really? That Carol Hauslander, I mentioned her to you a little bit earlier on, was a writer. I've mentioned her to you before. She was a British writer. She lived in the early part of the last century. She died in 1954. And she was a mystic, a very eccentric kind of a woman. In other ways, but she certainly had a very deep spiritual life, and that's what comes out in her works. But she picked up on, I'm going to call it a literary concept, basically, that came to us by Gerard Manley Hopkins, who was also a convert to the faith, as she was, but a poet, a great poet. His poetry is just beautiful. But nonetheless, she talks about inscape, and for her, for him, this was really more of a literary convention. But she took that phrase inscape, and she talks about that the presence of God is obvious. And when I say the presence of God is obvious, it's not that everything is God. We're not pantheistic, but that we can see the reflection of God in everything. And we can see, in a certain sense, the intricate reality of God in all things. And she talks about the fact that implicit in everything is the fullness of what is and what will be. It's just an interesting kind of a thought. I hope that I'm doing it justice in explaining it. But she talks about that in one of her books, the Passion of the Infant Christ. It existed initially under the title Wood of the Cradle, Wood of the Cross. And that kind of gives you some insight. And what she talks about is that if you look carefully at the coming of the Christ child, if you look carefully at that, contained within that reality is the totality of the life of Christ. You see his passion given to us in the wood of the cradle. You see the wood of the cross. You can find within that moment the mission of Jesus that he would live out in the world. And, and you can just, put your thinking cap on and you can begin to come up with some of those comparisons. I just gave you a very big one there, right? But Our Lady is present there, right? At his birth, and Our Lady is present also at the foot of the cross. And, you can see these parallels. That being said, an interesting thought is that at the foot, at the moment of Christ's crucifixion, we see something else too. We see the birth of the church coming by way of the blood and the water that gush forth from his side, right? And the church is born. And I find it interesting that it's the blood and the water, right? The church is born through the blood and the water. Isn't that the way in which human life comes into the world? Isn't that the way that life in and of itself, all life comes into the world through blood and water? It's the way that spiritual life came into the world, that blood and that water that issued forth from the side of Christ, it signifies, right, life. It signifies new life. It signifies salvation. It signifies eternal life, right? I find that so interesting. And then another little feature there, it's the side of Christ from which it comes. And wasn't Eve, didn't Eve come from the side of Adam? And wasn't Eve the bride of Adam? And isn't the church the bride of Christ? It's just, I just find it fascinating to think about. And then the theologians of the church, the fathers of the church tell us that Mary, is the archetype of the church. Our Blessed Lady is the archetype of the church. She's the bride of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I get caught up in these kinds of things. I don't know if you get caught up in them, but I sure do. We are getting close to the close of the program. So, I think that we've got time for a call. If you want to call in, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're just talking about, walking through Advent. And we want to go more deeply into our faith. We want to go more deeply into what Scripture tells us. We want to go more deeply into, what the great theologians and the saints of the church, the doctors of the church have told us, right? Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene writes in Meditation 173, when she consented to become the mother of the Son of God, Mary bound herself by very close bonds, not only to the person of Jesus, but also to his work. She knew that the Savior was coming into the world to redeem the human race. Hence, when she agreed to become his mother, she also agreed to become the closest collaborator of his mission. In fact, by giving us Jesus, the source of all grace, Mary collaborated more effectively and even directly in the diffusion of grace in our souls. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, if Jesus is the father of our souls, Mary is their mother. For in giving us Jesus, she gave us true life. And later, by offering on Calvary the life of her son for our salvation, she brought us forth to the life of divine grace. That's what we were talking about, the spiritual maternity of our Blessed Lady. There's more on that. Maybe we'll pick up with it tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see where God takes us then. But it's been great being with you today. I do invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. See all of the marvelous things that are offered to you there. In addition, become affiliated with Women of Grace, dear sister in Christ. If you haven't gone through our Women of Grace study, well, heck, I'm encouraging you to do it. And you can do it through online studies or in-person studies. But, oh my gosh, God has so much in store for you. So check it all out. Okie doke, we've got to go. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can reach me tomorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.